So today we are very fortunate that we are having Her Grace Preeti Vilasni Mataji to enlighten us on Valmiki Ramayana. Today is the fourth part of Uttarakhand, and Mataji will discuss about the Lord Ram's rule over Ayodhya, Mother Sita entry into the Mother Earth, and many more things. So thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable association. Now, Mataji, you can start the class. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji. My dandavat pranams to everyone on the call. Thank you all so much for joining and giving your association today. So we are reading from Valmiki Ramayana. We are continuing Uttarakhanda. I'll start off with the prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Viram Yat Krapatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Tarinam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Radhanatha Swami Nitanamne Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitanamne Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayate Deshadarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Kujantam Rama Rameti Madhuram Madhuraksharam Aruhya Kavita Shakam Vande Valmiki Kokilam Valmikir Munisamhasya Kavitavana Charina Shrinvan Ramakathanatham Koneyati Paramgatham Veda Vedye Parepamse Jati Dasharatatmaje Veda Prachetasadase Chakshat Ramayanatmana Anjananandanam Vidam Janaki Shokanashanam Kapisha Makshahantaram Mande Lankabhayankaram Manojavam Maruta Tulyavegam Jitendra Yambuttimatam Varishtam Vatatmajam Vanarayutamakyam Shri Ramadutam Shirasa Namami Anjaneya Madhipatanalanam Kanchanadri Kamaniya Vikraham Parijata Tarumulavasinam Bhavayami Bhavamananandanam Yatra Yatra Raghunatha Kirtanam Tatra Tatra Krita Mastakhanjalim Bashpavari Paripurna Lochanam Marutim Namata Rakshasantakam Sri Raghavam Dasharatatmajam Apramiyam Sita Patim Raghukulanmaya Ratna Deepam Majanu Bahum Aravinda Dayala Daksham Ramam Nishachara Vinashakam Namami Hare Krishna. So we are continuing to read from Uttarakhanda. And in our previous session, we stopped at a point where Sita was left at Valmiki's ashram while she was pregnant. And Lakshman returned very, very sad. And after he returned, he saw Lord Ramchandra, who was breaking down. And he consoled Lord Ram, who was lamenting very severely. And then, after consoling Lord Ram, Lakshmana advised Lord Ram to give up his lamentation and concentrate on his kingly duties. Otherwise, the citizens will continue to criticize him. So this is where we stopped in our previous class, and we will continue from there. So hearing all the wise words of Lakshmana, whatever Lakshmana had to say to console him, Lord Ram was actually very pleased with him, and he appreciated Lakshmana for the wise words that he spoke. And Lord Ram accepted, and he said that actually a king must be very, very careful in satisfying all his subjects. And a king who doesn't perform his duties properly will automatically fall down to hell. So one must be extremely careful when he takes the position of a king. So Ramchandra accepted the words of Lakshmana, and he was discussing with Lakshmana about this topic. And then after this, Lord Ram actually began to recite a few stories from history about kings and their duties. So at that time, Lord Ramchandra, he recited the story of King Nriga. Anyone remember who King Nriga is? Just if you can unmute and if you remember something from the Bhagavatam, from Krishna's pastimes.
Hey Krishna Mataji. He became the lizard in the whale, and Krishna came and liberated him. Like the boys were playing, and their ball was inside the whale, and they saw the lizard. So like he donated the cows and
yeah.
one cow he donated two times by mistake.
Yeah.
And because Correct. Of that he has to become lizard.
Perfect, Mataji, very correct. Yes, it was the story of the same king Mriga that Lord Ramachandra was actually reciting to Lakshman. So, of course, at that time Krishna had not yet appeared, but Mriga's story had already come about. So, Lord Ramachandra started telling the story, as how Shyamagauri Mataji was saying. There was once a very pious king and known as Mriga, and he was known for giving a lot of charities. And he was giving away in charity many thousands and thousands of cows with their calves, and all of them were very well decorated with gold. So it so happened that one of the cows that belonged to an old Brahmana, actually, which was already donated, it wandered and it mingled around with the crowd of the other cows. Now, Maharaj Mriga was not aware of this, that the cow had already mingled into the group of the other cows. So, while this old Brahmana was searching for his lost cow, Maharaj Mriga unknowingly gave away this Brahmana's cow to another Brahmana, thinking that this cow was not yet donated and it was assembled for charity. So, when the old Brahmin came searching for this cow, he came across his dear cow in the herd, and even the cow actually understood that this was his original master. So the cow recognized her master and she started moving towards her original master. But both the Brahmanas, seeing this condition, because now the new Brahmana received the cow from Maharaj Mriga, the old Brahmana already owned the cow. So seeing this condition, there was a dilemma, and both the Brahmanas, they started fighting. So the old Brahmin said, "She is mine," and the other Brahmana who had received the cow from Maharaj Mriga, he said, "No, no, no, this great king has given her to me, so she belongs to me." So like this, there was a big confusion, and Maharaj Mriga said, "Okay, I will give you 1,000 cows instead of this cow." He tried to satisfy both parties, but both of them wouldn't agree. They wanted only that cow, and they were fighting over that cow. So according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, King Mriga, then he went to the hellish planets because he didn't give proper judgment or he didn't do the donation properly. He went to the hellish planets and he received the body of a lizard for several years. Now, according to the Ramayana, the same story is being told, but here there is a little difference. It is told that the Brahmanas cursed Maharaj Mriga to become a lizard and remain invisible to human beings for several hundreds and thousands of years. So, along with the curse, they also gave a benediction that several thousand years later, Supreme Lord Krishna will appear, Vasudeva will appear, and he will release the king from the curse. So, this King Mriga, what he did was, he ordered, it is mentioned that he ordered his servants to make a nice cozy well that is well decorated, and he coronated his son as the next king, and he took the body of a lizard and he went there and he lived in that well for several years till Lord Krishna appeared. So Ramchandra told the story to his brother. So he said, "My dear Lakshmana, therefore we must be very careful. A king cannot be negligent to the needs of his subjects. As soon as we see that any of our subjects have any serious issues, we must resolve it immediately, and we should never make mistakes in satisfying them. So we should be very alert. We should be very careful. These are the duties of a king. He is accountable for everything he does. So from the story of our ancestors, we understand how serious we must be when we take this position of a king." Then after that, Lord Ram, he also narrated the story of Vasishta and King Nimi. So this story is also there in the Bhagavatam. Nimi Maharaj, he was one of the sons of Ikshvaku. And he was very, very religious, and he was very powerful. And once he wanted to do a huge sacrifice. It was a long-term sacrifice. And he went and requested his Kulaguru, Vasishta, to perform the sacrifice for him. Because Vasishta is the Kulaguru for the entire Sun dynasty, right? This Nimi Maharaj was one of the sons of Ikshvaku. So he wanted to perform a huge sacrifice, and he requested Vasishtha to perform the sacrifice for him. But then at that time, it so happened that Vasishtha already agreed to perform a sacrifice for King Indra. So he asked Nimi to wait. He said, no, I have already agreed to perform a sacrifice for Indra, and Indra cannot wait, so you wait. But then Maharaj Nimi, it is explained in the Bhagavatam, that he was a very self-realized soul. And he considered that this life is actually very flickering, you know, nothing is steady, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So he said, instead of waiting so long for Vasishtha, he thought he will bring some other guru and get the sacrifice performed with other priests. So he continued to perform his own sacrifice. And after completing the sacrifice of Indra, Vasishtha returned and he saw that his disciple Maharaj Nimi disobeyed his instructions. He didn't wait for Vasishtha and he started performing his own sacrifice with another guru. So Vasishtha was very, very angry and he cursed him, saying that this Nimi, he thinks himself to be very learned, but he should die immediately. So when Nimi was very shocked to hear such a curse that he had to give up his body immediately, so he felt this was an unnecessary curse. He had not committed any offense. He wanted to finish the sacrifice because nothing in this life is permanent. So he wanted to finish the sacrifice for the well-being of everyone. Since Vasishtha was busy, he just hired a different priest to finish the sacrifice. So he felt that he didn't make any serious offense. And Maharaj Nimi didn't like what Vasishtha did and he counter-cursed his spiritual master. So he told Vasishtha that because you're getting big contributions from the king of heaven, Indra, you have simply lost your religious intelligence. You have simply cursed me unnecessarily. You took priority for Indra because he is going to give you great gifts. That's the reason you went there. And then now you come back and you're cursing me. So therefore, I know to curse you back. I'm going to pronounce another curse on you. You will also die. So both Nimi and sage Vasishtha, they counter-cursed each other that each of them will die, and both of them gave up their bodies and later they were re-embodied. So this is another story that Lord Ramchandra was telling Lakshmana about how important it is for a king to behave properly. Okay, a king must have forgiveness, a king must be very patient, all these qualities are required. Now, when Lakshmana asked what happened to Vasishtha after this, because we all know that Vasishtha continued to be the Kula Guru even after this, right? So then Lord Ramchandra, he described how both of them got re-embodied. Both Nimi as well as Vasishtha took up new bodies. So the story is also described in the Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada writes commentaries for all of these. He tells how later the demigods Mitra and Varuna, by chance they met Urvashi, who is supposed to be the most beautiful Apsara in the heavenly kingdom, and they became very lusty. And because they were great saints, they tried to control their lust, but they just couldn't do so, and they discharged their semen. And this semen was kept in a water pot, and from that semen, Vasishtha was born from it. So Vasishtha got another body. So like this, actually first sage Agastya appeared. Technically, that's how first sage Agastya appeared from Mitra's semen. And then from the mixture of Mitra and Varuna's semen, sage Vasishtha appeared. So like this, the Kula Guru of the Sun dynasty, Vasishtha, he got his new body because of the demigods Mitra and Varuna. So what happened to Maharaj Nimi? What happened to him? He died, right? So what happened to him? According to the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Nimi's body was actually preserved in a huge vat of oil with a lot of fragrant substances. And after this great Satra Yajna that was performed by these saints was getting over, the Brahmanas who were performing this sacrifice on behalf of Maharaj Nimi, they made a request to all the demigods who appeared there at the end of the sacrifice. So they asked the demigods that if you are very satisfied with the sacrifice and if you are really kind, please bring back Maharaj Nimi to life. We have preserved his body. His body is waiting here. So if you can be merciful unto us, please bring him back to life. So at that time, the demigods immediately agreed. They said, yes, yes, we'll bring back Maharaj Nimi to life. But then Maharaj Nimi, when he was requested to reside in the body again, he said, no, I don't want to come back to life again. I don't want this material body again. Don't imprison me like this again and again. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada also writes in the purport that Maharaj Nimi, he actually received a spiritual body. He had the right understanding. He understood that he didn't want to take birth again and again, and he received a spiritual body. But then the Ramayana also gives another dimension. It states that Maharaj Nimi, not only that, he also resides between in the air that facilitates the blinking of the eyelids. You know, when for every split second, we blink our eyelids. That is actually because Maharaj Nimi resides in the air that passes through when we blink our eyelids. That's why a split second is called as the Nimesha. Nimesha, right? Nimeshena Chakshusha. This comes in Sikshashtakam. So every split second is actually resided over by Maharaj Nimi. That's why it's called as Nimesha. And that is the time required for blinking the eyes. So like this, Maharaj Nimi, he refused to take up his body. And he decided that he would take up a spiritual body, and also he remained in the air that passes through the eyelids. So now the body of Maharaj Nimi was actually kind of wasted. They tried to preserve the body so that Maharaj Nimi could come and take residence. But this body was actually kind of wasted. So at that time, what did all the sages do? All the sages were present there. And they decided that this body cannot go waste because it's the body of a great emperor, and they needed a successor for the dynasty. So what they did was that they started churning Nimi's body. And by churning Maharaj Nimi's body came a particular personality known as Mithi or Janaka. Because he was born in a very unusual way, the son who came from Maharaj Nimi's body was known as Janaka, and because he was born from the dead body of his father, he came to be known as Vaideha. And because of the churning of the material body, he is known as Mithi or Mithila. And he constructed the great kingdom known as Mithila. So that's why we see that the descendants of the king of Janaka were all known as the Janakas. See, he was the first Janaka who came from the body of Maharaj Nimi. And all his descendants were also called as Janakas. And that's why we see that Sita was born in this particular dynasty. And hence, she's also known as Maithili or Vaidehi or Janaki. So this entire story was actually described by Lord Ramachandra. How Sita gets her name, how Janaka, the first Janaka, was obtained from the churning of the body of Maharaj Nimi. So after narrating the story also, Ramachandra said that forgiveness is actually very important for people who take up responsibility. So it is not that you are now a king and you're the ultimate authority and you can just, you know, pass orders and sit there without taking any responsibility and without, showing any forgiveness. Forgiveness is very, very important. So like that, Ramachandra, he went on talking about different stories of the past and talking about the different duties of a king. So he also narrated so many other stories which is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We will not get into the details because, it takes a lot of time because we are also aware of these stories. He narrated about the story of how Yayati was cursed by Shukracharya and the fight between Shramishta and Devayani. This also appears in the Bhagavatam. And about how Yayati was so attached to his body, his youth. He was very attached to sex life. So he requested his sons to give him their youth. How Yadu was cursed and how Puru gave the youth to his father. All these stories were discussed by the two brothers. So in short, Lord Ram, he spoke to Lakshmana about attending. It is so important to attend to the needs of the citizens without fail. It is so important for a king to act responsibly. It is so important for a king to control his anger. He must be very well controlled in his senses. He cannot let his senses go loose. he has to be very, very strict about controlling his senses. He should know how to enjoy in a restricted way. He should know how to remain responsible. He should give the right judgment at the right time. Like this, both the brothers, they were discussing about the important duties of a king. So we all know that a king has to bear 1/6 portion of the sins of all his subjects. So although power is very intoxicating, to become a king, I mean, if a person is a small leader, he becomes very intoxicated with power. But then we should understand that a king has to bear 1/6 portion of the sins of all his subjects. So though all this power is very nice, we must note that it means it is very high responsibility. So it is not something that can be easily misused. A king must be very, very vigilant. He must be very careful. And more than anything, it is his responsibility that he has to attend to all the requests of all the citizens. Because only when the citizens remain satisfied, the king is actually happy. So Ramchandra, he followed each of these to the point. He was very, very careful in following everything. And even to this day, that's why we talk about Ramaraja, because Ram was so perfect in following all the rules that are laid down for a king. So then, after this discussion, Ram quickly, he proceeded to his royal assembly, and he was very eager to attend to the duties of the state of administration. He had taken a break because of all this that had happened. He had to be separated from Sita, and he was lamenting. And after this inspiring talk of Lakshmana, Ramchandra, he went back to his assembly to take up all the responsibility. Then he ordered Lakshmana to go to the palace gate, and he told him to go and check and see if there are any people waiting at the palace gates who have come with their petitions. So in Ramchandra's kingdom, if anybody had any problem, they could directly go to the palace gates and request for an audience with the king. So that's how accessible Lord Ram was in his kingdom. So Ram sent Lakshmana, and he asked Lakshmana to go to the gates and see if anyone was waiting there to meet the Lord with any petition. So at that time, when Lakshman went there to the gates, he didn't find anyone. He was very, very happy that Ayodhya was flourishing very nicely in Lord Ram's rule. Then he came back very happily and he told Ram that it appears that there's no one in this kingdom who's in need of anything. Everyone seems to be very happy and satisfied in your rule. But then Ram insisted. He said, no, you go back again. Go and see once more carefully. I don't want any more accusations. You know, I don't want to be accused that I was negligent in my duty. So you just go and check once more. I don't want any kind of irreligiosity also to go unnoticed in my kingdom. So just go check everything and come back and tell me if everything is all right. So again, at this time, Lakshman, he went back. And this time, he noticed a dog sitting there near the palace gate. The head of this dog was bleeding, and the dog was looking at Lakshman with a very pitiful, I mean, he was very, very sad. And with a fixed gaze, he kept staring at Lakshman. And he was whining again and again and again. So seeing the condition of this dog, Lakshman was very surprised. And he asked, what is the matter? Why have you come here? And you can tell me everything without fear. Just tell me what happened. Why are you bleeding like this? So this dog could speak. And this dog, he said, I actually wish to directly go and speak with Lord Ram. I know Lord Ram's two lotus feet, they award fearlessness to everyone, and he's the ultimate shelter of all the distressed. So take me to Lord Ram. I want to go see him, and I want to tell him what happened. So then Lakshman said, okay, if you have something to tell the king, you're more than welcome to come inside. But then the dog said, actually, I'm a very low-born creature. I'm after all a dog. I'm so unworthy of entering temples. I'm unworthy of entering the homes of people, the houses of Brahmanas. I cannot enter royal palaces. How can I go and stand in front of the king and submit my petition there? I'm after all a dog. So at that time, Lakshmana said, okay, I will go and ask the king and come back. Lakshmana went inside and he asked Lord Ram, that a dog wants to see you, but he's very hesitant because of his bodily condition to come inside. At that time, Ram immediately told, whoever it may be, he's a citizen of Ayodhya, he has a problem, he should come inside without any delay. So then the dog was brought in by Lakshman, and the dog very humbly came before Lord Ram, and he said, O Lord Ram, you are the king, you are the representative of the Lord being the king, and you are the savior of all the creatures. And because of you, the rest of the people in this world are sleeping peacefully, because we all know that a king like you is remaining alert and always working for the welfare of everyone while we are asleep. So you're such a wonderful king. You're a model. You're a model religious king. You're a model for everybody. So with my head placed at your lotus feet, I want to ask for your mercy. I have a request. But you should not become angry with what I have to say. So at that time, Ram, he reassured the dog. He said, it's okay, you can say whatever you want. Don't be afraid, you can speak what you want and I won't be angry. So at that time, the dog explained, there was a mendicant Brahmana and his name is Sarvartha Siddha. He was a beggar Brahmana, but he's a Brahmana. This Brahmana has injured my head even though there was no fault on my part. He broke my head. See, you can see that I'm bleeding. And this has happened because of a Brahmana. So immediately, Ram was quite surprised. How did a Brahmana behave like this, breaking the head of a dog? So he immediately summoned for this Brahmin by the name Sarvartha Siddha. So after the Brahmin came in front of the Lord, Ram inquired, why did you strike this dog when there was no fault on his part? Why were you so angry? Angry is a deadly enemy. It's like a sharp sword that slashes away all the good virtues that one has accumulated. And it nullifies all the accumulated merit of austerity that you have been performing as a Brahmin. What happened to you? Is it that your true character was revealed? You tried to hide it and it was revealed because of your anger. Why you were not able to control all these vices like lust, anger and greed? What happened? So at that time, the Brahmana said, I was actually wandering about in the city of Ayodhya and I was begging for alms. I'm a poor Brahmana. I was just begging for alms. And while I was walking, I came upon this dog and this dog was squatting in the middle of the road. It was blocking my path. I told him to make way and move away because I was very hungry. I just wanted to just pass by. And he was so lazy. He got up so slowly and he was making an awkward, he was standing in an awkward position. So I got very irritated because I was so hungry. Because I was famished, my anger overcame and I just took a stick and I just hit him on his head. I took up my staff and I hit him on his head. So, King, I admit that I'm guilty and I did a mistake. As a Brahmin, I shouldn't have behaved like this. I have no right hitting a dog like that on the head. So you can punish me and just give me the punishment that you see fit and prevent me from falling down into a hellish condition of life. So this is how the Brahmana responded. So even in Prabhupada's purports, we find that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that when a murderer, the punishment for a murderer is that he should be hanged. Immediate punishment must be given by the government authorities. Why? Because it prevents the person from falling down further into a hellish condition. So like that, the Brahmin was requesting, Lord Ram, I have made a big mistake. I cannot harm a dog like this. So you give me the punishment immediately so that I don't further fall down into hellish condition. But at this time, Ram, he turned to his ministers and he asked, so what should I do? What punishment should be given? Justice must be given to this dog because if we have to instill confidence in the minds of the people that our administration is good, we must give fair punishment to all the wrongdoers. If the punishment is right, then people will fear and they will not do gross mistakes. So we should be careful about this. We just cannot excuse everyone and let them go. Then people will think, oh, anyhow, Ram is going to excuse everyone. We can do any crime we want. We should give proper punishment. That is very important. So like this, Ram, he was discussing with all the ministers there and all the sages. But he asked, what punishment should I give? So at that time, all the sages present there, like Bhrigu, Angiras, Vasishta, Kashyapa, all the sages were present there. So they all knew religious principles very well. They said, whatever it may be, a Brahmana cannot be punished. This is the rule, you know, that is being followed. We don't punish Brahmanas. So that was the unanimous opinion of all those people who were conversant with Rajadharma. All the ministers, all the sages, everyone said that. Whatever it may be, we cannot punish a Brahmana. But then they said, but still Ram, you are the ultimate judge. We all know that you are the Lord of the entire universe. We know you are Lord Vishnu himself. So whatever is spoken by the Supreme Lord is the ultimate religion. It is the eternal religion. Of course, there is Rajadharma, there is Niti Shastra, there are so many, there is Manu Dharma, there is so much. But still, ultimately, Dharma means that which is spoken by the Lord. Dharmam tu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. So the principles of Dharma or religion are the direct orders of the Supreme Lord. So they said, irrespective of all this, you give the direct order and that is the ultimate religion. So then, while Ram was thinking what he had to say, the dog stopped Ram and he said, O King, you asked me what I can do for you. You told me that you will solve my problem. So if you really want to solve my problem and act in a way that you gave your promise to me, I have a request. Make this Brahmin the Kulapati or the head Acharya of a particular matha known as Kalanjara Matha or Kalanjara Ashram. There was an ashram nearby where Brahmanas resided and great saints resided. So he said, make this Brahmin the Kulapati or the head Acharya of that place. So Ram, immediately when he heard this request from the dog, he said, he was very, very happy. He said, okay, I will make him the head of this ashram. And the Brahmin, Sarvartha Siddha, he was also very, very happy because he received such a great honor. He became the spiritual leader of a particular ashram. So he was asked to climb on top of a beautiful elephant, and with all respect, he was taken to the ashram as the leader of that ashram. The Brahmana was very excited and he was very happy, and the dog was also very happy. But then the ministers who were there, they started protesting. They started saying, what kind of punishment is this? Instead of putting the Brahmin to shame, you have actually awarded him an exalted position. What is this? So at that time, Ram said, actually, you don't understand the laws of karma, but this dog actually understands the laws of karma. Let's hear it from the dog. So when prompted by Ram like this, the dog explained, in my previous life, I was the head of that matha, the Kalanjara monastery or the Kalanjara ashram. And I did all my duties perfectly. I worshipped all the demigods. I worshipped the Brahmins. I performed my sacred duties very carefully. I maintained all the servants without any problems. But yet, in spite of so much care and attention, I took my next birth as a dog because I have done some unknown fault. Even to this day, I'm not able to understand what fault I've done. But the laws of karma have taken over. Because I had a great responsibility and I didn't fulfill my responsibility properly, I had to take this birth. Now just consider this Brahmin. He cannot even control his anger. Because I was a dog and I was sitting on his path, he took a staff and hit my head. He was so angry. And he is definitely unfit to be an Acharya. Because he's also happy to take such a position. Now if he becomes an Acharya and he shows such anger, he will degrade 7 generations of his family. How can this man who is not able to control his temper be put in charge of Brahmins, cows and deity worship? It is said that anyone who steals from Brahmanas or demigods or women or children is doomed. And anyone who takes back a gift which is freely given is also doomed. So like this Brahmana, he cannot handle such a heavy position. So this is the biggest punishment that he can get. He is not able to handle such responsibility, and hence this responsibility itself is the biggest punishment that he can ever get in his life. So the dog said, I just want him to experience what I underwent so that he will know what difficulty all this is about. So like this, the dog gave this answer, and this Sarvartha Siddha, he became the leader of that ashram. So after saying this, the dog suddenly disappeared, and Ram and others, they were awestruck with wide open eyes. They could understand what the dog was trying to preach there. The dog was saying, this is huge responsibility. One has to be very, very careful. You can't take things for granted. So although he was previously born in a very high family, he himself was a Brahmin, he was the head of an entire ashram, somehow or the other, he was forced to accept the body of a dog. So leadership means responsibility, and responsibility means sacrifice, and sacrifice is suffering. We already discussed this in our previous session. So that's why we often hear in our temple circles that temple president job is the most difficult one. It is not easy. Even Vaisheshika Prabhu the other day was mentioning, everybody, any temple president you talk to, they will tell you it's the most difficult job because it's not easy to keep everyone satisfied. Actually, any leadership post, we're not only talking about a president post, we're talking about any leadership post. It could be leader of a particular bhakti vriksha or leader of any small organization. It is very, very difficult. It is extreme responsibility. Any mistake is taken very seriously, and you will be criticized for whatever you're doing. So you should be very careful. This is what Ram was trying to tell the rest of his members in the assembly, seeing the condition of the dog and seeing the condition of this particular Brahmana who was appointed as the head of the ashram. So of course, we all know that this incident, it happened in Treta Yuga. So the punishments were more severe. The consequences, the laws of dharma, they're all more intense. But still, to some extent, one has to definitely be very careful even in this age of Kali Yuga. So after leaving this royal court at Ayodhya, the dog, he went out of the palace and he completely gave up eating food and water, and he decided to give up his life in hopes of attaining a better birth. So this is the story of the dog that came to the palace. Now that's why as devotees, we all aspire to be the servants. We want to be servants. We don't want to be leaders actually. Our title is Dasanudas. We want to be Dasanudas. We don't want to be boss, right? We want to be Das. Even when we have the responsibility of being a leader to some capacity, it is important for us to keep in mind that we are actually servant leaders. This is something that is often said. You're not a leader, you're a servant leader. Because servitude is more important than anything else. Our servitorship, that should be the mood. Even if we are taking responsibility at the back of our mind, always there should be this thought that actually I am a servant. I am the lowest of anyone, anything, and I am a servant. And that is my prime mood. That should be the mood of even taking any leadership roles. So it's ultimately the Lord who controls, and we are only His servants. So then later, one day, some rishis headed by Chyavana Rishi, remember actually Chyavana Muni is actually mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Sukanya and Chyavana. That is also a very interesting story that comes up in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyway, this Chyavana Muni, he came to see Lord Ram. And he came with a request to Lord Ram. He and all of his followers, some of the other rishis, they all came. So they informed Ram that this Daitya by the name Madhu, he had a son called Lavanasura. And this Lavanasura was residing in Madhuvan. Madhuvan is the place named Vrindavan. So he was residing in Madhuvan, and he was oppressing all the sages who were living in the forest there performing sacrifices. In fact, he was such a Rakshasa that he would kill the sages and eat them for food. So while they were performing sacrifices, he would grab these sages and he would devour them. So the rishis, they came to Ram and they requested help from Lord Ram. So at the time, Ram, he told the rishis that he will definitely dispose this Lavanasura and kill him. So he discussed with his brothers, Bharat and Lakshmana and Shatrughna, as to who would go take up this assignment, go there to Madhupuri and kill this demon. So at that time, Bharata at once, he stood up and he said that he will take the responsibility. He would go and kill Lavanasura and establish the capital of Madhupuri and make a nice town there and make sure that the sages there are kept safe. So at that time, when Bharat offered this, Shatrughna immediately stood up, and he was always Shatrughna. We have heard that he, throughout the Ramayana, that he was very, very dear to Bharat. He was always in a mode of servant of Bharat, servant of the servant. That was his mode. So he told Ram, "My dear Ram, Bharat has already undergone so much. He's undergone so much austerities. He's undergone so much pain. When you were in the forest for 14 years, Bharata underwent so much stress. He was living in Nandigram. He was just living on barley and cow urine, and he was waiting for you to return. He has done his part. He has undergone enough. I don't want him to do anything more. I can do this as a service." And Shatrughna begged Lord Ram that he would go instead of Bharat. So at that time, immediately, Ram at once agreed, and he crowned Shatrughna as the king of Madhuvan, and he said, "I give you this assignment and you can go now." So while Shatrughna was getting ready to go to this place to kill this Lavanasura, at that time, Lord Ram lovingly called Shatrughna, placed him on his lap, and gave him a very special arrow. Now, this arrow that Lord Ram gave to Shatrughna was a very, very special one that was created by Lord Vishnu himself. Long time back, when Lord Vishnu killed Madhu Kaitabha demons. Now, Madhu is the father of Lavanasura. So that was a very, very special arrow that was used to kill these demons. So Lord Ramchandra had this arrow, and he gave it to Shatrughna, and he told him, "This arrow is very, very special. You will be able to kill Lavanasura only by this arrow, because it was made by Lord Vishnu himself, and it is invisible to all other beings. So you keep this arrow, and when time comes, you can kill this Lavanasura." But he also told Shatrughna that this Lavanasura, he has a very, very powerful trident that was given to him by Lord Shiva. As long as this Lavanasura has this trident in his hand, no one can kill him. So you must kill him at a time when he doesn't have this trident in his hand. So he told him, "You stop this Asura in the eastern gate itself before he can enter his residence and take this trident in his hand. You call him for a battle before he can get hold of his weapon, and you challenge him and kill him as early as possible with this arrow that I've given you." So giving all these instructions and telling him all the strategy, Ramchandra, he sent his brother Shatrughna to go to Madhupuri. Now Shatrughna, along with his army, he set out for Madhuvan. And while they were traveling, on the third day of their travel towards Madhuvan, he reached Valmiki's ashram on the way. Now, who is there in Valmiki's ashram? Sita Devi is there, right? She is pregnant. So, Sita Devi is there. Shatrughna reaches Valmiki ashram. So, when he reached Valmiki ashram in the forest, Valmiki graciously welcomed Shatrughna and gave him his wonderful association. And he told many stories. You know, generally, when kings meet sages, the sages, they recite many stories of history. So at that time, Valmiki told him the story of Saudasa or Kalmashapada. This is another story in the Bhagavatam. I think it comes in the 9th canto. You can look up this story. So basically what happens is when kings meet sages, they tell many stories in the history about other kings and the kind of problems that the other kings underwent and how they tackled the problems. So like that, Valmiki was giving many insights to Shatrughna about the history. And also, apparently, this area that was governed by this Kalmashapada was nearby Valmiki ashram. So he was telling the story of the history of that place. So like this, there was a lot of story that was mentioned by Valmiki to Shatrughna. And that night, as Shatrughna stayed with Valmiki, that very night, Sita gave birth to her twin sons at midnight. So Sita gave birth to Lava and Kusha at midnight when Shatrughna was residing the ashram of Valmiki. So as soon as Valmiki got to know that Sita was in labor and she was giving birth to these two children, Valmiki went to the ashram where Sita was had just given birth, and he performed some rituals with Kusha grass for the purpose of warding away ghosts and Rakshasas. So He had some elderly people take kusha grasses and rub the body of the firstborn child with the tips of the kusha grass. And the younger one was rubbed with the end of the kusha grass. So with the head of the kusha grass, the elder one was rubbed. With the tail end of the kusha grass, the younger one was rubbed. So the elder boy came to be known as Kusha because he was rubbed on the body by the kusha grass. And the younger one came to be known as Lava. Lava means the lower end. So the lower end was touched for the younger one and the top end was touched on the elder one. So the names Lava and Kusha were given because of this rubbing of the body by the kusha grasses. So Shatrughna was very, very happy when he learned that his dear brother had twin sons were born to Ram and Sita. So being very happy in his mind, next morning, Shatrughna, he resumed his journey. And on his way, Chavana had come to take him, right? Chavana Rishi. So he was telling him even more, many, many stories of the kings of the past, like the stories of King Mandatha and how King Mandatha actually encountered this Lavanasura and how Mandatha was actually killed by the trident of Lavanasura. So like this, Chavana Rishi was also telling him many stories about the greatness and the prowess of Lavanasura. And he was preparing Shatrughna because Lavanasura would be a tough fight. So he was preparing Shatrughna mentally, telling him stories about the different kings who had encountered Lavanasura. So finally, Shatrughna went. He encountered Lavanasura at the eastern gate and he stopped him when he was not with his trident. When Lavanasura didn't have his trident, Shatrughna managed to stop him. And when Lavanasura saw Shatrughna, he laughed at him and he said, "What are you going to do with the single arrow and bow that you're having? I'm so big, I will just devour you in a second." So like this, both of them, they were fighting with each other, both Lavanasura and Shatrughna. They had a good fight. The fight is described in detail. We won't get into the details. But they had a good fight. And finally, at the right moment, the Asura was killed with the arrow that was given to Shatrughna by Lord Ram. And at this point in time, he didn't have a trident. So that was the trick. And Lavanasura was killed. So after killing Lavanasura, Shatrughna continued to reside in this place. And he built a great city, which is called as Madhupuri, or it is called as Mathura today. So the city of Mathura was built by Shatrughna when he went there to Madhuvan to kill Lavanasura. So he stayed there. He made Mathura his capital and he stayed there for 12 years. And after 12 years, he went to Ayodhya to see his brother. So he decided to return to Ayodhya to go and check on his brothers. So after 12 years, Shatrughna, when he was going back to Ayodhya to see his brothers, again, he came across Valmiki's ashram. So again, Shatrughna was received very warmly by Valmiki and Valmiki took him to hear the recitation of the Ramayana by Lava and Kusha. 12 years had passed. Lava Kusha were young boys and they were trained beautifully by Valmiki to recite the Ramayana composed by him. So the two boys, with the help of musical instruments, they began to recite the Valmiki Ramayana. So the expressions of the boys were so beautiful. The descriptions of Lord Ram's transcendental pastimes were so vivid that tears started coming from Shatrughna's eyes. Even the soldiers who were accompanying Shatrughna, they were so entranced when they heard these beautiful pastimes of Lord Ram that was reenacted in front of their eyes as it was being recited by these two boys. So one soldier was telling the other, "How is it that this recitation is so perfect? It feels like as though I'm seeing the pastimes in front of my eyes." So one soldier told Shatrughna, "Please ask Valmiki Rishi how he composed this song and how he managed to do such a beautiful song. How he wrote such a beautiful story of the pastimes of Lord Ram." So at that time Shatrughna said, "My dear soldiers, we cannot question all this to the Rishi. Such things happen automatically with great sages. So we don't express our curiosity unnecessarily to them. Just enjoy the pastimes." So that night, when Shatrughna was staying there in Valmiki's ashram, he just couldn't think of anything else other than the lyrics that he had heard describing the pastimes of his brother and Lord Ram. He was just thinking about the glories of these two boys who were so sweet and so innocent, and they were able to recite the Ramayana so beautifully. So thinking of Sita Devi, thinking of the two sons of Sita, the next morning, Shatrughna, he respectfully he took Valmiki's leave and the leave of everyone in the ashram, and he went forward and he went to Ayodhya. So he went to Ayodhya, he reached Ayodhya, and he bowed down before his brother. And Shatrughna said that, "I went to Madhupuri, I carried out your command, I killed that Ravanasura, I resided there for 12 years, and I've built the city known as Mathura, and by your mercy, this city has become very, very prosperous. And I was extremely sad these 12 years because I have been in separation of all of you. So now I want to reside in Ayodhya without going anywhere else for the rest of the future." So at that time, Ram told Shatrughna, "My dear brother, you don't speak like that. You are a heroic Kshatriya. You cannot express sorrow saying that I'm feeling inconvenience staying without you. I'm feeling separation from my brother. All these words are not acceptable for a king. Your only prime duty is to think about the well-being of your subjects. That's why you have taken the responsibility of a king. That is the duty of a king. You should only think about your subjects. Don't think about all this. I'm feeling separation from Ram. I'm feeling separation from Bharat. All these are secondary. So you must follow your religious principles as a king, and you should return to Madhupuri. Of course, you can come and see me from time to time. Come stay with us for some time. But your prime duty is to go back there and take care of the people there." So for 7 days, Shatrughna came. He visited all his brothers. He stayed with them for 7 days and he went back to Mathura. So this is the story of Shatrughna taking over Mathura. Then let's continue some stories in Ayodhya. One day, an elderly Brahmin, he came to Ayodhya, and he came to Ram's palace, and he was carrying the body of his dead child in the arms. Okay? He was totally filled with grief, and the Brahmin was crying so badly. He said, "My son is dead. He's dead. What crime did I commit in my previous life that I deserve to see the death of my only son? He's just a small child. He's not even 14 years old. Now, myself and his mother, my wife, we both have to die out of grief without a child. We have lost our child when we are alive. What wrong did I do? I have never spoken any lie. I have not done any injury to any man or animal. I have not done anything wrong. But how is it that a child is dying in front of his parents? So that means this is because of some fault that is there in the king. Ram has some fault. That's why my child is dying untimely. It is a very well-known fact that when a king becomes negligent in performing his duties, such anomalies occur in the kingdom." So he said, "Ram, you must return my innocent child to me. You know, it is your responsibility now. Otherwise, both me and my wife, we will die at our doorstep." So Ram was very alarmed. This Brahmin said, "You will become guilty of killing Brahmanas now if you don't return back my child. There is something wrong in your kingdom. There is something that you have not overlooked properly. Something irreligious has happened in the kingdom. And being a king, it is your responsibility to correct it. You have not done your duty properly. That's why my son is dead." So anyone remember a similar incident from Srimad Bhagavatam? There's the same incident, that similar incident that happens when in Lord Krishna's reign.
Wasn't it when his spiritual master son died?
Is that the later one, Mataji. Remember, the son of a Brahmana dies, and Arjuna vows to bring him back.
Oh, yes, he goes down to the to the lower planets. Yeah, yeah.
So, similar incident, because the responsibility of a king is so high, if there is something irreligious in the kingdom, the king is held responsible. So, the blame was put on the king. It was put on Ram. So, Ram, when he heard this Brahmana's plight, he immediately hurriedly summoned his advisors, Markandeya, Kashyapa, all of them, Jabali, Gautama, all of them, Narada, he called even Narada, and he seated them and he asked them, tell me what has happened. I'm not able to understand why this Brahmana is accusing me so badly. So at that time, Narada said, I will tell you what the reason behind the child's death. And you can take a decision and see how you can solve this problem. Narada started telling Ramchandra that in Krita Yuga or Satya Yuga, the Brahmins, they alone performed austerity and they achieved liberation from material bondage. And in that age, everyone was wise and there were no untimely deaths. Then at the beginning of Treta Yuga, the Kshatriyas along with the Brahmanas were also very qualified and both of them were allowed to perform tapasya. But however, the Shudras and the Vaishyas would not perform unnecessary tapasyas. They would stick to their religious duties. They would just, like for example, the Vaishyas, they would take care of cows and agriculture and the Shudras would serve everyone else. In the Dwapara Yuga, irreligiosity will increase and thus there will be even more irregularities. And some of the Vaishyas would also perform certain austerities. But the Shudras would strictly be prohibited from doing so. But in the Kali Yuga, even Shudras will be allowed to perform certain kinds of austerities. And they will be, actually in the age of Kali, there is no proper Brahmin or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra. Nothing is proper. The entire Varnashram system will be mixed up. So everyone will be performing austerities and there will be a mix of everything. But this is the Treta Yuga and there are certain rules at this time. So it is a serious offense for an unqualified person who doesn't have the proper qualifications, who is a Shudra, to perform certain austerities in this age. And it so happens that there is one such person in your kingdom who is a Shudra and he is performing severe penances. And because of him disturbing this order that is there in society, this child of the Brahmin is dead. So he said, irreligiosity is the worst enemy of a state. And as a ruler, you have to go and punish the wrongdoers. So you must find this culprit at once and restore the religious principles. And if you do that, the minute this problem is solved, the Brahmana's son will come back to life. So when Narada gave this advice, he told Lakshmana to go and give orders to make sure that the Brahmin's child is preserved in a vat of oil after applying all the necessary herbs. This is how they used to preserve bodies in those days. Even in the Bhagavatam, we see King Vena's body was preserved like this. So the child's body was preserved and Ramchandra, he mentally summoned the Pushpaka Vimana. Remember, he returned the Pushpaka to Kubera, but then Kubera also told him that whenever you have a problem, you can mentally summon the Pushpaka and the Pushpaka will appear to you. So he mentally summoned the Pushpaka Viman. The Pushpaka Viman came, Ram sat on it, and he started surveying his entire kingdom. So he went in all directions. He went east, west, north, south, and finally, in a place called as the Shaivala Mountain, beside a large lake, Ram saw an ascetic kind of a person hanging his head downward and he was engaging in severe penances. So Ramchandra was very surprised when he saw this kind of austerity that this man was performing. So he went and he approached this man and he asked him, tell me, who are you? I am the son of Dashrath, I am Ram and I am the emperor of this kingdom. But you tell me who you are and why are you performing so much austerities? What is your goal? What is your intention of performing these austerities? So also tell me who you are. Are you a Brahmin? Are you a Kshatriya? Tell me about your origin. So with his head downward in that position, this person, he replied, he said, I am born from the womb of a Shudrani. I am a Shudra. But in spite of being a Shudra, I know I should not be performing these austerities. But in spite of being a Shudra, I am performing austerities in hopes that I can conquer the heavenly planets of the demigods. And my name is Shambhuka, he says this answer. So when Shambhuka had hardly finished speaking his sentences, Ramchandra immediately he took out his sword and he chopped off the head of this man. And the minute he was killed, okay, Ramchandra immediately did that. He just killed him. The minute he did this, all the demigods, they were all so happy. They were pouring flowers from the sky, and they were all extremely happy, and they said, "Well done, Ram, well done, Ram." And all the demigods appeared there in front of Ram, and they, thanked Ram for the favor that he had performed. So they told him, "You have performed such a noble act," because this Shudra, he was actually violating religious principles, and he was creating so much disturbances, and you have solved this issue for us. So now this story, when we see from our point of view, we may think that he was just doing some austerity, and why should he be killed for this? This sounds like some caste-based thing, right? Like, oh, a Shudra should not do this. Some casteism-based story, it sounds like that. But then it is explained that humans are meant to behave in a particular fashion such that they do not create any disturbances in the cosmic order. Just like when we create certain disturbances to Mother Earth, there are so many things happening in today's world. We are doing so many things that is creating so many disturbances on Earth. And because of this, there is some disorder that is created. And hence, we see the reactions of such disorders. Like we see some calamities that happen because we are not going as per the natural order of this world. So when such things happen, when someone is trying to transgress the proper order of Varnashrama, at least in the age of Treta Yuga, it was not considered good. The cosmic order was disturbed. So even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Chaturvarnyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. So the activities and the character of a person decides the whether he's a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra. So you see that the activities and the character of this person who was performing this particular act was also not good. His intention and motive behind performing such activities was not for a constructive reason. So he had to be punished, and the demigods wanted him to be punished because he was not doing the right act. And hence, Ramchandra fulfilled this. And the best part is, the minute this boy, man's head was chopped off, that very second, the boy, the Brahmana boy who had given up his life, came back to life. So he immediately came back to life. His life was restored. So Indra thanked Lord Ram, and Lord Ram made sure that this boy had regained his life. And Indra assured him that the minute you chopped off his head, he actually regained his life. So this is the story of Shambhuka. This is one of the stories that is also kind of, it is a little controversial. Many people have brought up the story saying and remarked that, in those days, the caste system, it was because of the caste system that this particular Shambhuka was not allowed to perform this austerity, but that is not true. And it is clarified in the Uttarakhanda of the Ramayana. And also, if you're interested, there is a very beautiful answer given by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu for this story. It is there on his website, The Spiritual Scientist. So you can listen to the entire explanation that is given by him. He has explained very clearly about this story. So then later on, I think we have to stop here. It's 9:00. So what we are left with is the Rajasuya Yajna performed by Lord Ram, how Lavakusha come and recite the Ramayana, and after that how Sita, see we couldn't finish how Sita entered Earth. So we have to see all of that in my next class. We have to see how Sita entered Earth and how Ram, Lakshman, Bharata and Shatrughna, they withdraw their pastimes. How Ramchandra enters Sarayu and how they withdraw their pastimes. And finally, we have to see Phalashruti. So we have all of that reserved. So we'll do that in the next session. Probably next week, we'll try to finish and wind up the entire Ramayana. We just have a few more parts left. So anyhow, thank you all so much for your attention. And we can end the class. Hare Krishna. If you have any questions, comments, or any corrections, please let me know. Hare Gopal.
The only question is, how is it that it just finished so early?
Mataji? I couldn't hear you.
We finished, completed the class also early.
It's nice. Yeah. You're so happy.
Very wonderful, very nicely. You realize all the stories about the Nini and very good. Sanak Maharaj and all, it's very nice, wonderful. So you want to finish it up? I hope not. Can just continue.
Okay, should we? Yeah. I don't know if everyone is okay. Should we continue Sita entering into Earth? That was like another 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Matani. Very, very wonderful. This
idea.
Hare Krishna, Piti, Lakshmi, Abhidhi. Thank you so much for this beautiful narrations. I know you are running fast because, you know, because of you really want to finish it up, but still would request, like, all those Bhagavatam stories that you were narrating, it was so beautiful after hearing, and I wish you would have covered those, but still... You know, that's really nice. It's a kind of a recap for us. Though we have to, you know, but still sometimes, you know, we just forget because of a tendency to forgetting. So it was really nice, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji. So should we do the remaining part next class?
Yeah, because that we should do proper everything. I don't know.
Okay, Mataji.
Go through, you know, just by sake of just finishing it up.
Finishing.
Yeah. You should do proper justice to each and every. You know.
I concur with Kirti Dasundari Mataji. I didn't want to say anything, but now that she said, I'm going to say, please don't rush through. Please do take your time and do it, please.
Okay, Mataji. Sure. Yeah, so we as I mentioned, we'll do the last part with Rajasuya Yajna, how Lavakusha appeared in front of Ram, and the entire remaining story of how each one of them withdraw their pastimes. So,
thank you, Mataji. I have a couple comments that I was thinking. Number one, I was thinking, some of these stories I know, some of these stories I don't know. And so it's just wonderful that you are telling them. I actually, and I know, I think Vrinda Gopika Mataji is the one that always says this, that she feels like she's sitting on her grandma's knee and fitting, and telling stories. And today, of all days, really, really felt like that. It, you know, brought back a lot of childhood memories. And I was just thinking, you know, these days, this art of storytelling, because this is a special gift to be able to tell stories like this. You know, because this art of storytelling, this is how these, you know, the tradition was passed down from our grandparents, you know, and it's lost now because of so many different things. And although we may read these stories, many of us have read these stories on the internet or have read them, you know, in the Bhagavatam or stuff. It's just, it takes you to a whole different level when somebody tells the story like this. And this is something that I think as a grandma now, I'm relishing as a listener, so I'm just looking forward. I mean, as we are telling stories now, you know, we tell little stories to the children, but I'm just so, it just excites me to think that I would be able to transfer this knowledge to my children, my grandchildren, by telling these stories over and over. So that's just wonderful. Thank you so much. Two thoughts that came to my mind as you were speaking is, we know the part where you said that the king doesn't sleep at night because he's always trying to think about how to take care of his student. I mean, his citizens. And it just immediately the thought came to my mind about how Srila Prabhupada did not sleep at all because he would be doing things for his disciples. That was his whole mood of you know, giving everything that he had to his disciples. And the other thoughts that came to my mind was when you were talking about Shatrughna and how he said, you know, I don't want to go anywhere anymore, I want to just stay here with you. And Ram says to him, you don't have that option, that's not, you know, and it just, again, the other, you know, the other thought that came, I mean, almost immediately, just the correlation I saw between how, you know, many, some of Srila Prabhupada's, you know, first disciples in the beginning, they would say, no, Prabhupada, we don't want to go anywhere. Did I do something wrong? Why are you sending me away? And Prabhupada's like, no, you need to go. This is what you need to do. And I was just thinking, you know, he epitomized, I mean, Srila Prabhupada was just, you know, a perfect example of a leader. You know, you think I have a guru, you know, I have a guru, but this is responsibility that each one of us in whatever, as you were so, you aptly explained, it doesn't have to be a president of a company or a president of a temple or whatever, but whatever position you're in, you have such responsibility. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. He, again, is exemplified the Ramayana in his life.
Totally.
You know, so it just, I got chills when I was thinking about that. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, so many connections we make as we're reading all these and you tell these stories. So, and one other comment that I have, and this is, you should actually do some, if anybody is out there, I'm putting this out to anybody who knows anybody who does audio recordings and stuff, that this would be nice. You know how Mamala Bhakta does the reading and he has all the sounds and stuff in the back and all that? It would be so nice if you actually, if somebody who's got that capability, I'm not a computer person, but maybe you could do it, but you really need to put these out on a CD or something so that children can have it. Meaning, you know, basically that the Sunday schools and stuff can have access to these stories because it's so necessary. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
That's so sweet. That's so nice. Yeah. Yes, Mataji. We can see. Yeah.
Anishwari Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Responsibilities on you, British last night. You know, you better do that.
I don't know anything about computers, and I just bought my internet. So, I'll make inquiries. That much I can do, but I really think it needs to be done. And you know what? She's in Silicon Valley. They're all, you know, that's the hub of tech, right? So there's somebody out there that's going to be able to. Sukeshi Mataji, you know anybody?
Hi, you see.
Yeah. Make sure all this is edited while sending this recording.
Yes, Mataji, all our talks, all these laughs, yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much, Paneshwari Mataji. Thank you, Kirtida Sundari Mataji. Thanks to both of you.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji. I have one small question.
Yes, Mataji.
Are you hearing all this recording that you're doing? Ramayana?
No, I'm. Are you hearing? You're asking me. I'm not hearing.
Please do hear. You will be really so much, and then you will realize how we are feeling. That then we want more and more, and we want to go on continuously. So it's very wonderful you are doing. So like Prabhupada also, he was also hearing his books, Krishna book and all this. Then he would he's hearing for the first time. And he was just so much enlivened. I mean, he would just say, oh, how wonderful Krishna is. How he did this. So please, you can also realize it like that.
Sure, Mataji, I will also listen. Actually, you made an important point because every time we hear any katha, it is definitely new to us. It's totally new. And we don't remember everything. Very true, Mataji. And all glories to your listening and all glories to our Guru Vargas, actually, for making these scriptures available like this. And
it's Mataji, your glory that you're compiling together, like Vyasa, they compile all the beloved.
No, Mataji. No. All glories to your
compiling
listening.
This Guru Vargas commentary and classes and things like that, and keep presenting very, very nicely, relishable. All we have to do is just swallow it. We don't even have to chew. It's very, very wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, and yeah, all glories to Guru and God, and all glories to you, Mataji. Thank you.
I don't have any glory, but I just thought of it. I said, well, I should ask you so that you're hearing. If not, then please do that. You will
yes, Mataji.
Yeah. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for such a beautiful story that all the Matajis have discussed. That it was so beautiful to hear the stories, especially the stories are so relishable that we focus a lot. Like when it is so philosophical, sometimes our mind goes here and there. But when we hear stories like this, then we concentrate a lot and we learn so many lessons from those stories. So thank you so much, Mataji, for such a beautiful class.
Thank you so much, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji, for your listening, and thank you so much for your kind words, Mataji. Hare bol.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare bol. Hare bol.
Very, very wonderful class, very wonderful stories, Mataji. And you know, it's Kirtida Sundari Mataji said it's nice recap for us. So we have to listen these kind of stories. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Shamagauri Mataji, for your always being encouraging. Thank you so much. Okay, so if no one else has any comments or questions, we'll end the call. I once again thank everyone for your patient listening. Thank you all so much. Vanchak.